of a river flowing within its banks. And if you wanted to get into the river, you had to go to it and step in. But I saw the time is upon us where the river is overflowing its banks. And I believe Missouri has, what, the greatest amount of waterway in the nation? Or does anybody know that for sure? Waterways or miles of coastland as far as lakes, or does anybody know? Yeah, Google that. That would be great. The most square foot of water frontage. Just when I had that, once you started prophesying about Missouri, it just clicked. You can go ahead and be seated. I just have so many things going off on the inside of me, I'm trying to figure which way to go. I think I'm going to start here in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. The word walk there can be live. Live in the Spirit. Live by the Spirit. And you will not. I really like this verse because it doesn't say that you'll do this most of the time. That you won't carry out the desire of the flesh. It says, no, when you're walking in the Spirit and by the Spirit, you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. Or that natural, humanistic, that fleshly type of works where he goes on to explain what those types of things are. There are certain times that we need to be where God has spoken, where God has led us to be, to receive what God has for us to receive. And if we simply aren't where God has called us to be, we will miss what God has for us. You see, the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, where the 120 disciples of the Lord were gathered, it says suddenly a mighty rushing wind came into the house. The scripture is very careful that it doesn't say a mighty rushing wind came through the city. That mighty rushing wind only came into that house. And the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, fell upon only those who were in that place at that time. You see, and also in the book of Acts, it says that Jesus, after he was resurrected, appeared to over 500 people. But only 120 did what Jesus said. Wait. And it was only those 120 that experienced the outpouring of the Spirit of God at that moment, at that time, because the wind only blew in that house. Those who were outside of the house didn't experience what they experienced. You hearing this? Amen. And we've been talking, I think, for the last couple, two, maybe 3 years, that it is time that we get aligned correctly and we are where God wants us to be. Now, that's a mouthful, because it's speaking about our walk with Him, our relationship with Him. It's time to get in right alignment with Him personally. It's time to be gathered with the group of people that God has for us to be gathered with, to live where God has us to live. Because He is the one that puts us together as a body and shapes and fits us with the gifts, the talents, the abilities that He's given us individually and corporately to work together, to function, to be the body of Christ in the area and the region that He's called us to be. And there is where the most He will have the most benefit, where the most glory will be evident, is those who are being led by the Spirit of God, and not by their own fleshly desires and wants. I want to pick up right where it speaks of in verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit. Because as you're walking with the Lord and being led by the Spirit of God, and obviously I'm talking about those who have been born again and their nature is brand new, you have received a brand new spirit, as it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. That old things have passed away, behold, new things have come. Verse 22, it says, the fruit of the Spirit. When you are walking with the Spirit and you're becoming one in unity with the Spirit of God, the Spirit produces fruit on the inside of us. This is not a production that God expects us to work out in our own strength. As we are walking with the Lord, with the Spirit of God on the inside of us, as we are being led by the Spirit of God, as we are listening and discerning His voice and following Him and becoming more and more obedient to the Lord and following Him, He's producing in us a fruit. Notice the very first fruit that is produced, and it's the fruit of love, by which no other fruit can be produced without the first one. Really, in the English here, it would be better if it said, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, semicolon, because all of the others depend on love. Because when you're born again, anytime you encounter the real God, you're encountering love. Why? Because the Bible says God is love. That's who He is. He just can't help it because that's who He is. So everything He does, everything He says, everything He commands from us, everything He provides for us always comes with that heart of love. And love always does at least two specific things. It provides and it protects. But real love, the true love, the love of God is so powerful, there's no law that's against it. It doesn't matter what person you are, what part of the country you've come from, or what country you've come from, or wherever you are, that love is so powerful, so authoritative, that when you encounter the love of God, there's an explosion of healing and restoration that happens in your heart. Amen. That's just the way it is. That's how powerful love is. And God has created every human being with that number one need, the need to be loved. And when we encounter God's love, it brings healing. How many of you, when you were young and you were just You weren't feeling well, you were sick, you hurt yourself or whatever. You just wanted mom, you know. You just wanted mommy just to kind of, or somebody to love and care for. And somehow that just, that love in itself just had that healing kind of ointment to it. You understand what I'm saying? The love of God is so powerful. And it says that when we become born again, that love is shed abroad in our heart. You see, wherever the king is, the kingdom is. And we carry the king, the spirit of the king, which is the kingdom in our hearts. And all of what the kingdom provides for us. You see, there's a system of this world and there's a system of the kingdom. And these two are opposed. And one of our largest, our biggest challenges is to renew our mind, to change the way we think, to line it up according to the system of the kingdom of heaven on earth. And not be so trained to just the kingdom, the system of this natural world. Because there are laws and boundaries and rules that function in this natural world that God is not limited by. Time, space, gravity. God's not limited to these types of things in the kingdom. The world system only has certain answers for certain things. They can only go so far. Medicine and doctors and space and science and all of these things only go so far. There are certain sicknesses, certain diseases, certain mental issues, certain physical ailments, mental ailments, spiritual ailments. The world has no real answer for. They try. Look, if God created this intricate, complex body, He certainly can fix it. He certainly can repair. Yes, I think it's interesting to me that so many Christians, we have no problem with God created us. God made us from dirt. I mean, just try to think of that for a minute. He took a bunch of dirt, fashioned it, put it together, and made liver and pancreas and colon and heart and brain and eyeballs. And well, He didn't go to the store. He didn't pull it out of space. He said He made it all from dirt. We don't have any really problem thinking or knowing that God created our body. But when it comes to God healing it, just repairing it, we get tripped up sometimes. It's like, why? I believe the main reason is because the system of the world has so infiltrated our minds. That we've limited God and what He can do. God's taken us, man, I'm just so excited here in the last few weeks. It's like we're starting to walk on a new ground, a new area, a new thing here. And it's amazing. And I don't want to miss a heartbeat of it. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to miss a thing. But notice here in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, it says, the fruit of the Spirit is love. Now notice the very next fruit that's produced. Can somebody tell me what it is? It's joy. That just reminded me of this last Wednesday night. You know, the Bible also says the joy of the Lord is our strength. You know, joy is not the same thing as happiness. Happiness is temporary. It's fleeting. It's dependent on this circumstance, how you feel when you wake up, whether you have money, don't have money, whether you got a job, don't have a job, whether your car is working right or not working right. It's all dependent on where you're happy. We go from happiness to sadness, up, down, up, down. But when you have the joy of the Lord in your heart, it's not dependent on any circumstance or situation that goes on. It's a state of being. You can have the joy of the Lord in your heart, regardless of where you're at, what's going on. Matter of fact, all of these fruits here, for the fruit of the Spirit of God, is an inner fruit that you can have and that you can walk in. One of the best gauges I think of is to prove to myself that am I walking with the Spirit of God? Am I walking with the Lord? Is my love meter? Am I loving more or am I loving less? Am I getting more bitter and hating and angry, or am I loving people and more? Because when you hang out with God, the God of love, and you're with Him and walking, that just gets on the inside of you. You become more and more who you gaze at, who you look at in that mirror, who you idolize, who you worship, where your attention is, what your focus is on. You actually become more and more like that. So the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Self-control, yes, is a fruit of the Spirit of God. The ability to be able to control myself. That's why I said myself. I just said the ability to control myself is a fruit of the Spirit. See, one of the things that the world does because they don't have the Spirit of God is they teach you techniques. Coping techniques. They don't have the real answer. And medication while you're learning coping techniques. My Bible says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. The Alcoholics Anonymous, they teach you are an alcoholic, you will always be an alcoholic, and that's just who you are. But you can overcome it, and you can learn to never drink again, but you're always an alcoholic because it's a disease. That's not what my Bible says. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. That part of your identity is no longer part of your identity in Christ. But see, when you have that in your psyche, in your mind, in your mental, you are limited and learning to cope with the system of this world and not the system of the kingdom. In 2 Peter 2:24, it says that Jesus took all of the sin on Him, nailed it to the cross. Why? Because sin leads to death. And He was whipped and He was beaten and the skin was ripped off of His back. And it says in that verse that His wounds, because sin leaves wounds. And those wounds that were on His body was a picture the sin that was on Him, that of the whole world, and then that sin had to, it does, the Bible says sin leads to death. But the good part is He did it, He took it, His wounds, He did all of that so we can have life. The opposite of the system of this world, death, or sin producing death, but He was producing life in Christ Jesus. In Romans 8, it says that when we get born again, we are free from what? The law of sin and death. But we're now under another law, and that's the law of life in Christ Jesus. Jesus said, I've come to give life, and that life more abundantly. That's a Zoe type of life. It's a quality of life. It's a life of being. It's a life to bring healing to all three parts of our being, our spirit, our soul, and our mind. Walk by the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And God, I know most of you know this, if not every one of you, that God, when He created us a three-part being. We are spirit, we're housed in this body. And we have a soul, which is our mind, our will, and our emotions. And when you are born again, you receive a brand new spirit, and it's linked to that soul. It affects the soul. It affects the way that you think. It opens up your eyes to be able to see things that you haven't seen before, to have a perspective about things you haven't had a perspective on before. It is now it's also equipped you to be able to read and understand the living Word of God, where you weren't able to before. It just means that it began, it is an opening, and that we need to renew our minds, in Romans chapter 12 says, to change the way we think so it lines up with the system of the kingdom and not of the world. Because what is the law or the system that's in this world? It's the system of sin that leads to death. The kingdom is life in Christ Jesus. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, all of these character types of traits. I know nobody in this room is like this, but so many Christians, they're just like this all the time. The weight of the world, just oppressed, depressed. You talk to them, how's it going? Oh. It makes you like, oh, okay, well, I'll go talk to somebody else. It's like their lack of energy wants to drain and sap that energy right out of you. Oh, I'm just, you know, always sick, always this happening, always that happening, always something else happening, constantly, all of the time. That's not Zoe life. Can we just be honest about it? It's not the life that Jesus died to give us. He so loves us that he took everything on his body, in his body, so we can have and walk in total, complete healing in every area. Amen. In our minds, amen. In our physical bodies, in our spirits, yes. God wants to set us free. I really do believe this. You might think I'm wacky, but I believe this, that every person sitting in one of these chairs this morning, God wants you completely and totally healed in your physical body and in your mind. And if you're not born again, in your spirit. And if God created again, if he created this complex, intricate system we call a body, this machine, he certainly can repair an issue. He certainly can fix an issue. And the Bible says that that's what one of the things that Jesus bought back for us is healing. And I just feel like maybe we need to explore and get into that a little bit more. We don't have time today because there's so many aspects of healing, especially when it comes to physical healing. But I think we've just bought into what the world does. I'm just going to use myself as an example. And this was recently. I don't know, maybe 3 weeks ago or whatever. It was right after Sharon, Dale's wife, got healed, and Lee, and it was on that next Monday, I contracted this cold. And I had it for 10, 12 days. And I'm just going to tell you what happens in using myself. My first thoughts were, well, it's fall and it's winter time coming, and I know so many people that have gotten sick, and it's going around. You know, I accepted it because it's natural. So you can have it if you want it. But listen, that's what I did. I just accepted what, and so the first was like, okay, well, I need to, you know, take some Sudafed to clear my nose up, squirt stuff up in my, you see what I'm saying here? Instead of like, oh, I'm not taking, I've done that before, but this time it's just like, you know, you just get going and you just, it's amazing how that system just keeps. I had it for 12 days or whatever. And we just put up and accept certain things. Why, it's normal. That's natural. God didn't call us to live a natural life. He called us to live a supernatural life. A supernatural life supersedes the natural. Nobody can walk on water in the natural. But in the spirit, you can walk on water. Nobody can take bread and keep multiplying it or fish. Not in the natural. But in the spirit, you're not bound to the natural laws. Once you are dead, you cannot come out of the grave. That's impossible. When you're dead, it's over. That's natural law. When you're sick or you're missing an arm or when you're in a walker because of an accident and the doctors say, well, we don't have any more answers for you. This is just the way you're going to have to learn to cope with this. In the natural, that may be true. When you get a diagnosis, you have cancer, that big C word, and especially in certain areas of your body, like a pancreas, that's it. We're just going to make you comfortable. You remember what I said last week about a person I was talking to and how the mindset is? When that happens, we're just going to pray that the person's comfortable until they die. Now, what I didn't tell you is what I already said today. What I told that individual was that they were getting out of my van. And I said, you know what? If God created this body so complex, I mean, really, just think of that. Of course. But because of our experience, see, we live so much by our experience. I've never seen anybody healed before. I've never seen anybody healed from cancer before or something big. I've never seen an arm or a limb grow out. Neither have I. I've never seen it. But I know it can happen. I've never seen a dead person get up off the street, but I have. I have. I've seen it. Renee and I have seen it. It's happened. Twice. God can certainly heal my cold. And that, actually, I really didn't even say that correctly. He already provided the healing for us. It's like, are you going to accept it? What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about that cold? What are you going to do about that sickness? What are you going to do about that disease? Because Jesus said, look, when he was raised, he talked to his disciples. He said, all authority has been given to me. Now, I want you to go and do these things. I want you to heal the sick, cleanse the leper. I want you to preach the gospel to the whole world, commanding everything that I've told you, I want you to tell them. Disciple nations. Go. He even did it while he was still alive. He sent the 70 out. They got so excited. Demons are subject to us in your name. I said, why are you guys excited about that? I saw him fall like lightning. We blow these things up in our mind. They're not that big. It's not that big to God. See, God wants to raise our faith level to really trust. The Bible says that faith works by love. That's why the love is always this core issue, everything. Love is our motivation for everything we do. It is God's motivation. Every command God has given us, we tend to look at command as a negative word or law as a negative word. See, it's boundaries. Boundaries communicate love. Parents, if you don't have any boundaries for your kids, you are not communicating love to them. Now, you can get so over with law and boundaries, you can restrict and just squeeze the life out of people. But if you don't have any boundaries and you can just do whatever you want to do and go wherever you want, what it communicates, just the way God created us, it communicates you don't really care about me. That's what it communicates. And teenagers and young people pick that up very quickly. You don't have any boundaries for me, any kind of guidelines, you really don't care about me. Now, they're going to buck it. That's just who they are. But boundaries communicate, and it doesn't change with adults. Boundaries communicate love. God created the Garden of Eden. He put everything that we need in it. Matter of fact, let's talk about the negativity of law. There wasn't really any. In the Garden of Eden, God only said one thing not to do. Everything else was permissible. That's our God. Hello. And because he so loved humankind, what that love does, everything that he has commanded was to provide for us and to protect us. Are you following this or am I all over the place? You go back to the Garden of Eden, everything there is provided for us. I'm still talking about healing and I'm going to finish because it's so big. What was the food that he provided in the garden? Everything that the earth grew. Why? Because our body came from there and it needs what's in there to be able to function and survive correctly. Hello. I believe a part of the dietary law had that purpose in mind, to provide and protect us and keep us healthy. You know, in Revelation, the last chapter of Revelation, the tree of life that is in, by the river, on either side of the river, that tree of life, it produces fruit every month, and the leaves are for the healing of the nations. And where do trees grow, they get their nutrients out of the ground, which is where our body came from, and they need those nutrients. That's in there. There's vitamins and minerals and things that our body needs to function in a healthy way. And when we don't get it, if we don't eat it, it can and will get sick. Y'all are quiet. Go to talking about eating, right? There's so much but I'm going to do it quick. When it comes to healing, can we just really kind of be a little honest about this? Bobby. What we have done, I believe, and this is nothing new, what we've done in our church circles is we've pretty much programmed the masses to receive healing a certain way. And what's that certain way? Well, we're just going to have, who needs healing? Come up to the front. I'm going to pray for you so that you're healed. I'm not saying that can't work and doesn't work, because it does. But that's not the only way God heals. And one of the things we've done is we've limited. Now, I came from a place when I was first a Christian that if you were sick or something wrong, you didn't really want to tell anybody. The answer was, you don't have enough faith. What? Or you're in sin, exactly. Or you're sinning. And that sin causes you to have sickness. Now, that's true, too. Sin leads to death. And sickness is that death process. Jesus, many times when he healed somebody, when he came up to him, sometimes he just said a word. Other times he said, you are forgiven. Why? Because it was sin that was causing it. Sometimes he cast a demon out of somebody. Why? Because the demon was causing the sickness. See, we've got to hear from God. What is causing that? Or how do you... Because see, there's different methods. Sometimes Jesus spit and made dirt and put it in the guy's eyes. There were demons cast out without even Jesus happened to be there in person. Have you ever thought about this? There's nothing recorded in the Bible that Jesus was ever sick or the 12 disciples. It is about Paul. Paul said to the Galatians that he stayed there longer and preached because of a bodily illness. He also said about, and I always mess this guy's name up, I'm going to just call him Effie, but Epaphroditus, that he said he was so sick to the point of death. Getting sick or being sick is not a sin. It's not, but I want to be healed. And God has a strategy. He knows what actually caused, because God doesn't want to just deal with the sickness. He wants to go in and root out the cause of the sickness so you're not sick again. See, unforgiveness, bitterness, there is a wide variety of things that can cause our bodies to be sick. A sick mind just because you've been focused on such perverted and twisted stuff that your mind gets so twisted and sick. Anything. Matter of fact, there's a verse, and I believe it's either 1st or 2nd Corinthians, that says that our spirits, even after being born again, that our spirits can become defiled again. And the Bible says that Jesus did everything he saw the Father do. He said what he heard the Father say. It can be very simply that some toxin that you're using, some household cleaner in your house that is so toxic and having an effect on your body, adverse effect on your body that God may be saying, I want you to get rid of that and use this instead, and there's your healing. But one of the things that we've done because of programming so much is just pray for me so I'm healed. And the whole time God's saying, quit using this, quit using this, quit using this. Stop eating that or start eating this. Hello. When the gift of healing, and I believe we're going to see the gift of healing in such mighty power that is going to be flowing, that it goes beyond that. It doesn't matter whether you have faith or not, or it doesn't matter whether you know any, or whatever. When Jesus went to the pool of Bethesda, he was focused on one guy. And that guy didn't have much faith. When after Jesus was resurrected, the very first miracle that happened, that was Peter, was it Peter and John, went to the temple and that guy was lame. Jesus must have passed him many times. But what was he doing? Please heal me, please heal me. No, he was saying, please give me money. His faith wasn't activated for healing. When Renee and I prayed for that guy, that boy that was dead on the street, it wasn't his faith. He's dead. That was just a supernatural act of God with a gift of healing. Because I didn't have any faith at that time either. Her and I had been arguing. I was like, God, I just want to get out. I just want to go home. I know a lot of you have heard that story before. And we were just driving home. We saw this kid laying on the ground, people all over. It's like, well, I guess we ought to go pray for him. We get out, go pray for him. The only thing I heard God say was, as I'm kneeling down to put my hand on, well, first thing off is he was such a mess and blood everywhere. I noticed right away I didn't get sick or repelled, and that stuff does. I couldn't work in a trauma thing. But the thing that God said as I'm laying my hand on him is he said, don't touch him, and I didn't. And God did it. God did that. God put paddles on him and shocked him back to life. It was an amazing thing. That's why if you're just being led by the Spirit of God, it's not anything, woo. That was just a normal bet. Well, we ought to pray for him. So there's a difference. We can get into this a little bit more. When the gift of healing is manifest and operate, it doesn't matter about the faith of that individual. You can get healed, period. When Sharon, I've mentioned this several times, when Sharon was up here and she had such authority coming out of her mouth, it was like the Lord told me, she's getting healed, man. It was just bam. She was settled on it. She confessed it out of her mouth. She spoke over it. I've had the Lord do different things with me, and I've told these many, many times. When I had a heart palpitations, when we first left the other church and started this one, and my heart was beating very, very fast, and we prayed, and we did all kinds of things, and I went to bed, and I woke up, my heart still beating this fast. It was 200 beats a minute when I went to the hospital the next day. The doctor said it's amazing you didn't have a stroke, because usually you can't, the heart can't take that kind of stress for that long, and it was all night long that was doing that. And I went through that whole thing. Well, before I ever went to the doctor, I was bent down. I was getting my leaves out of my pool. And as soon as I bent down, the Lord said, you need to call your doctor right now. See, sometimes the Lord will tell you to go to the hospital. Take something, do something, go. And so it's just, what is God saying? That's what I did. That happened again. And then on the second time it happened, this was months and months later, I was like, you know what? I'm not putting up with this. I was a young man. I'm still young. But I was younger then, and I'm like, the doctor gave me this pill, and he wanted me to be on this pill for, they called it atrial fibrillation, and they wanted me to be on this pill the rest of my life. That was it. So it would just do that. Now, I'm not telling you should do anything that I'm doing. The only thing I want is, Lord, I'm not accepting this now. I am not going to accept this. So, Lord, what's your strategy? What's the strategy here? I'm not taking that, and I know you have a better way. You remember what I did? I think I just did that. I think it was Lord just spoke to that, and I saw, I'm not taking it, I'm not receiving it. Now, you can't always do just that. When I had kidney stones, and they're in my family, and it was a generational type of thing, and I had five in a short amount of time. There was one Wednesday, I'm in my office sucking carpet, hurting so bad. I woke up, and half the church or all of it were in my office praying for me. I'm like, oh, this is good. This is nice. Yeah, oh, it's just Crystal took me home. You took me home that night because I'm laid out in her vehicle. I was like, I couldn't even sit up. I was in such pain. And I was like, you know what? That's it. I don't need to take this. Amen. I do not need to take this. So I sought the Lord on it. You know what he told me to do? He didn't say stop eating salt. Thank God. Because I am a saltaholic. He said, cut down on your salt, start taking vitamin B6, and then now you speak to your body and tell it to quit producing kidney stones. I did all three of those, and I haven't had one since. See, well, all I'm saying is there's different ways, methods, that God wants to bring healing to you. Because there's different reasons and different causes. See, if I'm in sin, and that sin has been unrepented of, and it's causing a sickness, that's why the Lord has given us these boundaries of not sinning. Hey, don't have sex outside of the confines of marriage. Why? Because I want to keep you from having fun? No, because you're going to get sick. And I want to keep you from getting sick. Don't lie. Don't steal. Now, there's two reasons for this. One, when he's saying these things, he's saying, this is who I am. I am faithful. When I'm asking you and I'm telling you to be faithful, I'm faithful. That's who I am. When I'm telling you not to steal, what I'm communicating to you is who I am. I'm not a thief and I will never steal from you. That's what God is saying, see. When he's giving those laws, we just see it as a negative type of thing. When I tell you to have no other God, you're important to me. Think about this. He has no other God. See, to him, it's really all about us. To us, it's all about him. Why? He's given his life for us. We are valuable. We're important to him. So when he gives us these things in the system of the kingdom and the boundaries to stay in, it's to provide for us. To keep us from being sick, to keep us from deteriorating. We weren't supposed to die. We weren't. God did not create us to die. He did not create us to grow old, weak, sick, and die. Now, we all have to die of something. That's true. But we don't have to just accept it because it's age. I know some of you just didn't even accept that at all. We don't have to just accept it because it's age. I want to close with this. And all of us are going to be tested in this. And that's, what do we really believe? And why we believe it? Take stock of what you believe and why you believe what you believe. Because if it's not based here, then it's not on solid ground. We've just accepted certain things as truth, as fact. It's amazing that I've been asking the Lord to make me more aware of the things that I believe and why I really believe it. Because it could be just, sometimes our experience in life is not truth. You want me to say it again? Sometimes our experience in life is not truth. I'll use some examples really quickly here in the area of healing. I've been prayed for 100 times, and I'm not healed. Here's what happens. Not everybody does this, but I've heard this, and you have too. Well, because we go into human reasoning and rationalization. Well, God's trying to teach me something. Show me here. Show me here. That God puts sickness on somebody to teach you something. I mean, if that's true, Jesus was the worst. Because he wasn't sick. I would think, if you had that kind of mindset, that sickness was used to teach, that Jesus would have been sick all the time. Right? I mean, it's amazing how we just accept some of these things. Well, I know why God let me sin and have adultery, so I can better minister to others that are there. Again, Jesus was the worst. But see, we get these human reasonings and human thoughts into our psyche, and we actually believe that they're true. Because we always have to have an excuse for something. and a reason. That's just the way we are. What's the excuse? What's the reason? Why did this happen? Who's at fault? Instead of, God, how do you want me healed? See, the question ought not be in our mind is, does God want me healed? It ought to be how, not do you want me healed, God? I've heard Christians say stuff like this. I bet you have too. Well, I guess God just doesn't want me healed. What? Where? This is human, natural reasoning and thought. God wants you healed. I don't care if you've been prayed for 4 million times. God wants you healed. God wants you set free. When you're sick, look, when I'm sick, when I had a cold, you know what it did? It started zapping my energy. Now I don't have the energy to do what God has called me to do. I've been writing this book on ecclesia. When I was not feeling, there was a couple days I really just wasn't feeling good. I'd sit down, my head, I couldn't get my thoughts together. I was like, you know what? That's robbing me from doing what God's called me to do. And we've got to get to the place we're just not going to put up with it anymore. We're kingdom people, and we have been given provision, and healing is part of that provision because God loves us so much and He shed abroad His love in our heart, and I'm going to be joyful and I'm going to produce the fruit of the Spirit of God on the inside of us. So how many of you are sick? Stand up. If you're sick, disease, not feeling well, stand up, please. Now I want to tell every one of you that are standing up, because I don't know, some of you, I don't know what your sickness or thing is. If this has been an ongoing thing for years, make up your mind, you're done. Just make up your mind. You're done with this, and you're going to have what God has provided. That the enemy's not going to rob us, my mindset's not going to rob us, the world's not going to rob us from having what God has called us to have. To be perfect and to be complete in His sight and what God has created us to be. Just make up your mind for that. Now I'm going to pray now, but I'm also going to have, like we do normally, we have the body go and lay hands on you. But I want to pray a specific prayer here that you would hear from the Spirit of God how God, what's the method God wants you? Maybe it's something simply that you're eating, that you're like some examples I gave, or not eating, you're not getting the right nutrients or whatever. Maybe you're using some kind of toxins, or maybe your environment, whatever it could be. It could be a wide range. Maybe it is sin. Maybe it's something that's generational that you've just accepted because the world's told you your mom had it, your aunt had it, your grandparents had it, so you're just going to have it and we just accept it. Maybe it's something like that. Maybe it was just something that had nothing beyond your control. It just happened. You know, our bodies do get sick. They get diseased. Because our bodies aren't redeemed yet. But one day they will be. But until then, God has provided physical healing for us to have. So God, I pray now that you would give each one standing wisdom and insight, Father God. That they would hear from the Spirit of God. And I pray, too, for those that are get up and stand and lay hands on them, that they would also hear from the Spirit of God for healing. God, it is not a question that you want us healed. We know you do. It's not a question whether you will provide it. You've already provided it. You've provided everything. We understand, God, that we live according to a whole nother system that's supernatural. That you can create things in us. If it's a pancreas, you can create a new pancreas in us. You can go in and take one out and put a fresh, brand new one in. If it's a colon, if it's a liver, if it's whatever it might be, if we're blind in one eye, you can give us a brand new eye, God. We believe it. Because you created this body and we know you can repair it. Father God, we just submit ourselves to you now in Jesus' mighty name. Would you please get up and go to someone that is standing? Would you lay your hands on them?